Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Kelly Davio. This week on the podcast, we're pleased to welcome our guest, Lee Purvis. Lee is the Director of Health Services Research at AARP's Public Policy Institute. Her work focuses on a variety of prescription drug and mental health related issues, with an emphasis on prescription drug pricing, biologic drugs, and prescription drug coverage under Medicare. Lee joined us by phone to talk about the challenges that Medicare beneficiaries face with respect to obtaining and paying for their biologic drugs, and about the policies that AARP hopes to see implemented in the days ahead. So Lee, first off, what are some of the challenges that Medicare enrollees face in accessing and paying for biologic drugs?
Well, I think the cost is probably the biggest challenge for them. There are two parts of Medicare that cover biologics, and they both have different types of cost sharing that can really add up. So the first is Medicare Part B as in boy, and that covers drugs that are administered in a physician's office. And under Medicare Part B, beneficiaries are responsible for 20% of their cost sharing, and there is no out-of-pocket limit. So we have seen studies where some beneficiaries who are on very expensive drugs have faced cost sharing that exceeded $100,000 per year, which obviously is an incredible amount of money. We also have Medicare Part D as in dog, and that is the outpatient drugs, and there are some biologics covered there as well. And Medicare Part D does have an out-of-pocket cap, but it is not a hard cap. So after a beneficiary spends $5,000 out-of-pocket, they enter catastrophic coverage, and there is still cost-sharing in that catastrophic coverage of 5%. So that also can add up to where a beneficiary faces costs of $10,000 or more. So when you put it into context, a Medicare beneficiary, the median income is about $26,000 per year. A quarter of them have incomes of around $15,000 per year. And then a lot of them have savings of less than $20,000 per year. So when you're talking about these costs that are $10,000 to $100,000, and then you're looking at the assets and resources available to Medicare beneficiaries, it really becomes problematic in terms of being able to afford and access those drugs.
And what's happening to those patients who can't afford their medicines? Are you seeing some patients foregoing care?
Unfortunately, that is a very real possibility. There are people out there making trade-offs and deciding, you know what, I'm not going to treat. There is some really compelling research that shows that even cancer patients are deciding not to treat when they're faced with really high cost sharing. Other times, they may be making a trade-off and saying, okay, I guess I won't pay my rent and I will pay for my drug. So again, neither of those are really optimal in terms of making sure that patients have access to the care that they need.
Do you see biosimilars having a role in getting the cost of treatment down for these patients?
We are certainly very hopeful. AARP has been very supportive of getting biosimilars onto the market. We think that they will bring a level of price competition that really is desperately needed when it comes to these incredibly expensive products. The discounts may not be quite as large as we see with traditional generics, but again, if you're talking about a $100,000 drug, 30% off is $30,000. That is a large amount of money. And again, it is meaningful to the programs that are helping to pay for them, like Medicare. We are concerned about the solvency of that program. So any savings really would be very, very welcome, particularly to the beneficiaries. And again, I think the products, the biosimilars, when they do come on the market, assuming we do get a competitive market, I think will be very important.
With three biosimilars that we have in the U.S. so far, have we seen some cost-saving benefits for this population?
I think it's definitely safe to say that the biosimilar market is off to a relatively slow start. I don't think we've seen the savings that we would hope to see, but that kind of makes sense when you think about the traditional generic market. You know, you need three or four products at minimum competing against each other to really start seeing those significant price drops. And right now we have three biosimilars total. So obviously, you know, we don't have the sheer number of products that we need on the market to see really competitive price competition. And I think that is really where we're going to see a difference once that happens.
In thinking about the specific disease populations who might eventually use biosimilars, who might benefit the most from these therapies?
I think a lot of the conditions that affect older populations are ones where biologics are in use currently and where biosimilars would be useful. So, you know, your multiple sclerosis, your rheumatoid arthritis, cancer, you know, anywhere where you see biologics kind of heavily in use, and again, those traditionally affect older populations more than younger populations, those are certainly the places where we would hope and expect to see savings.
Are there policies that AARP would like to see CMS employ to help Medicare beneficiaries afford biologics and biosimilars?
Well, one very weedy issue is related to how biologics and biosimilars are reimbursed under Medicare Part B as in boy. Right now, we don't think that the current policy really maximizes competition in terms of how those products are grouped together and reimbursed. And we would like to see the brand name biologic and all of its biosimilars in the same code and kind of competing on price that way, the same way that traditional brands and generics compete. We think that would result in the most competition and hopefully would bring down the prices. We certainly are interested in the costs associated with these products under Medicare Part D because, again, when out-of-pocket costs exceed $10,000, when you're talking about a median income of $26,000, that is a concern. So trying to find ways to help bring down prices under Medicare Part D, I think, would also be very important to us. There's a lot of options floating around out there, but it's hard to say exactly which one is going to be most effective.
We anticipate that the president, along with HHS Secretary Azar, will give remarks in the near future on drug pricing. Are there some policies that you hope to hear included in a plan to address the cost of drugs?
I would say specific to biologics and biosimilars, one thing that we've been advocating on for years is reducing the period of exclusivity that is granted to brand name biologics. That would certainly help bring price competition sooner and obviously would result in savings. So we would love to see something along those lines. And then broadly speaking, we want to be sure that any of the proposals that come from the administration aren't just cost shifting. We want to actually get to the price. So again, going back to the exclusivity period, that would be something that could hopefully help reduce the price. So anything that doesn't result in kind of squeezing the balloon and pushing up costs elsewhere is something that we are probably going to take a great interest in.
What are some cost-shifting policies that might just be moving the burden elsewhere rather than really addressing price?
It's really anywhere in the system where you hold down costs and unfortunately don't do anything to hold down costs in other parts of the system. So the healthcare system in the United States is obviously incredibly fragmented, and it's something we're very mindful of. So were you to hold down, for example, out-of-pocket costs in one part of the system, there's nothing to say that those costs aren't just going to appear in your premiums and your deductibles and your cost sharing. And if not there, then they could appear in a different part of the healthcare system. So really, it sounds bad, but broadly speaking, anywhere that you're kind of putting the clamps down, you're going to most likely see costs increase elsewhere. The question is just where.
Thanks for being with us for this latest installment of Not So Different. Join us next time for more insights from leaders in this constantly changing landscape of biosimilar therapies. Until then, visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.